It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back, quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. He's Greg Pickle. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. Still talking Penn State football. Looking more ahead to 2020, spring football just around the corner. And we're looking at three defensive players, or however many we feel like. We're going to change the rules as we go. Defensive players who aren't quite on that short list of obvious guys who are going to take the next step, or you presume will take the next step. And looking at players who maybe they can pull a surprise or two here and develop and get into the mix. And again, we looked at the offensive side of it a couple of days ago. You can check that out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or by downloading the Keystone Sports app. We'll focus on defense now, which is an interesting place. I mean, there are jobs to fill in that cornerback rotation. There are jobs to fill at the back end of that defensive tackle rotation, at the back end of the defensive end rotation. I think you can probably say the back end of the linebacker rotation. I don't know that there's not a ton of high-end priority jobs that are going to be up for grabs because Penn State does bring a bunch of guys back. But, you know, the two starting linebackers lost, it puts that group in an interesting spot. But and that's where, you know, I think my focus was looking at guys who could come off the radar, because you lose Cam Brown, you lose Jan Johnson. You have Ellis Brooks and Jesse Luketta. I'm not sure how they view Jesse Luketta longer term. You know, is he an outside guy, an inside guy? Ellis Brooks has done a really nice job rotating in behind Jan Johnson at the middle spot. You also have Brandon Smith there. So I don't really view any of those three guys as being off any radar. But I think Lance Dixon, you could probably say that. He was a guy who showed enough to warrant consideration for burning his red shirt. But in the end, I don't think they would have gotten a lot of value from that. But his package of athleticism and speed and range, he could be a factor at any point. You don't expect him to be a starter or anything, but he's a guy who's very, very impressive and as such needs to be watched pretty closely this spring.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think when you look in that linebacker picture, you could go with any number of the guys, quite frankly, to be one that sort of jumps up and surprises you. You know, I think we've seen Charlie Catcher receive some nice praise this offseason, and this is kind of a year for him to kind of make a step forward, even if it's just as a major special teams guy playing on all the special teams units. I don't know. I'm hard-pressed to think, unless he made some major strides that we haven't seen yet, I'm hard-pressed to think that that we're going to see him in the starting mixture or even the two deep at this point. But, you know, with Ellis Brooks and with Jesse Luketta, you know, under the radar is probably not fair because we spent a lot of time talking about those guys. And yet, it feels to me like we've talked a lot about them, but do we really know what they can do if they're going to be asked to hold up for a lengthy period of time? I mean, I think we saw a little bit of an idea when they kind of tag-teamed filling in for Micah Parsons after he was suspended for targeting during the Maryland game and the next game as well. But I think that'll be the real challenge at this point. Okay, we know what these guys are about. We know what they're capable of. We've seen some nice things from them in spot work. What happens when they're now asked to play, you know, if they were playing 20% of a game snaps before, now they're playing 40 over 50, you know, how do they hold up to all that extra bruising and beating and chances to get beat and conversely chances to make plays? So, no, that's a fascinating group. You know, one guy, and again, under the radar, off the radar, however you want to define it, may not be fair with this particular guy because we've talked about him before, but, you know, James Franklin seems to take a lot of pride in kind of uncovering the next hidden gem of Penn State's deeper part of the roster that turns into a star. And I can't help but think about how much he mentioned DaQuan Hardy over the last handful of months.
I knew exactly where you're going when you started.
I telegraphed it. I'm like a bad quarterback. I looked right in your eyes, and then you knew where I was going, and I went there. But yeah, so he just.
By the way, if you do that, you always have, you can blame our offensive coordinator here, like
Matt
McGloin style.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I threw
interceptions,
yep. But the game plan is not good.
Yeah. He just spiked his headset, if anybody was wondering. But it's okay. We'll regroup after the break. Anyway, just looking at Hardy, he was a guy in high school who was always fascinating. I mean, there's a reason Penn State got in late and made sure they wanted to land him, because his speed and everything about him is very impressive. But, you know, you're obviously always waiting to wonder, okay, is he big enough to hold up here? Can he put some weight on and keep that speed, etc.? Unless they're just talking the talk, it sounds like he has made the right moves in the weight room and in the testing and everything like that. And Dustin, that usually means a guy is, you know, on the right track to have a bigger role than he's had in the past. Maybe it's just special teams for him, but don't be shocked if he finds a way into that secondary mix too.
And really, what is he? Is he 5'9"? I mean, he might be listed at 5'9", but it's not, it doesn't exclude you from doing anything. It might exclude you from really being, are you truly an NFL guy? But like, I don't know, use Grant Haley as a benchmark. Being 5'9", I mean, Lamont Wade, being 5'9" is not a death blow, especially at the college level. Like, you can be a special player and still be 5'9". Who was it from? Was it Vernon Hargraves, I think, from Florida, who was 5'9", maybe 5'. I don't think he was 5'10". I think he was 5'9", a true perimeter corner who was a first-round pick. Should he have been a first-round pick in the NFL draft? Hindsight says probably not. But the point being, being 5'9", it doesn't limit you from getting where you want to go. And from what I can gather, I think physically he seems to be exactly where they want him to be. But just
right.
From a like a bulldog competitor, like that, you know, reading between the lines on that one, like his sort of never give up, like they could use that attitude. And
right.
I think that's one of the things that, you know, the guys on the team and the coaching staff seems to love most about him, is that he will compete through and through. And sometimes your willingness or that hunger or that desire to do that on, you know, 50-50 balls in the end zone, that can make all the difference between whether you make the play and don't make the play.
Right.
You know, the insistence on making the play as opposed to just kind of trying.
Correct.
So hey, Hardy's got some special skills on that front. Like you said, whether it translates into a prominent role in 2020, I don't know. But I do expect multiple seasons of playing a large number of snaps for him.
That sounds fair. Yeah, absolutely.
I was looking at cornerbacks too. It's not like he's completely off the radar. But if you look at the true freshmen who played last year, who are high on the list to try to kind of cycle in at number two, number three, number four in that rotation, Marquise Wilson and Keaton Ellis are big names. But Joey Porter Jr. seemed to have gotten some really good vibes this past year too. And I'll be curious to see if he can make a move again. Is his future at cornerback? Is it could he be a guy at he's a long, he's at 6'2", but he's a long 6'2"
yeah.
Also, that could be a tremendous weapon at corner. Or is he a guy who moves to safety? But I think we saw enough from him in whatever the four game sample to believe that his future is pretty bright too.
Yeah, he Marquise Wilson, you know, Keaton Ellis, of course, just fascinating to see what those guys do this offseason, because they all made they all put on a lot of weight and you know, adjusted to the game of college football at the Big Ten level really fast last year. And the thing that they did that, and now they have a whole winter, spring, and summer to kind of fine-tune their craft while also having a pretty significant amount of film to look at and judge for both good things and bad things. You can just only wonder what kind of steps forward those guys will take this season. And, you know, I don't want to throw Trent Gordon away either. I think he's a guy who probably gets overlooked because maybe he wasn't involved in as many splash plays as these other guys were, or he's not Joey Porter Jr., who every time he steps on the field, it just kind of hits you because, you know, of what his legacy is, both as the son of a former NFL player, but also just when you see him come on the field, it's just, you know, he's out there. And Trent Gordon maybe isn't quite the same way in that regard, but I wouldn't be shocked if he finds himself in a better place on the depth chart than what you might expect going into spring practice. I do think that he's quietly pushed ahead. And, you know, that fight to replace John Reed is going to be, I mean, Sometimes you have to almost manufacture your excitement for position battles because you just don't like feel it's, you don't believe it's legitimate, right? I mean, right. Even though it's a, you know, quote unquote position battle, some of these over the years have just really not been so. I mean, even going back to Trace McSorley and Tommy Stevens, and, you know, obviously Sean Clifford, Tommy Stevens, Sean Clifford, Will Levis, not exactly, we're not talking about the quarterback here, but, you know, some of these job openings are usually, you know, they're not filled on paper, but they're filled in logic.
It's for a player to lose, right. Not for a player to win.
And yeah. There's a couple of them this year that are just wide open, and they're going to be awesome to watch play out.
What other ones? Cornerback and where
corner,
else?
You know, I do think that, okay, so we think that wide receiver for sure. We do think the guard job is penciled in with Miranda and Thorpe. I think you obviously have a few guys coming back on the offensive line you know are going to be starters. I think at least two of those spots could go to somebody that didn't play a lot last year. So we'll have to see how that plays out. But yeah, corners one, you know, safety, I think you have to open it up a little bit and let those guys compete back there, even with what you have coming back. You know, again, that might be a job to lose situation, but you just look at how well Penn State's recruited and how some of these guys have developed, you know, and I think you can make some assumptions at some positions, but, you know, like we talked about previously in the week, backup tight end's a job where, all right, do you really want to think that much about it? Probably not, but when Pat Freiermuth has come off the field, you know, there's three guys there right now, and it's hard to say which of the three is probably, you know, a clear-cut number two at this point. I don't think you have that answer. So, unlike most years where you assume that a guy can only lose his job if he loses it, and there's no real threat of him losing it, I think there's a real threat for a lot of these younger players to really shake up the veterans in spring practice and going into summer camp.
Well, I mean, to the bigger point here at cornerback, that could especially be true, because if you are a believer that Keaton Ellis, Marquise Wilson, Joey Porter Jr. are a special group of freshmen, if you are also a believer that Daquan Hardy needs to get on the field in some capacity, maybe that's just as a special teamer this year, then you're also saying, you know, Trent Gordon and how about Donovan Johnson too? What comes of these guys if these freshmen really come on hard?
Right.
And I'm looking more at Donovan Johnson for that, because Trent Gordon really had some good momentum down the stretch last year. Donovan Johnson being hurt, can he pick up where he left off before that? There's a threat there, and there's going to be a big time, you know, at wide receiver, there's going to be a position battle. At cornerback, this is a really good group that, you know, beyond Tariq Castro Fields, all bets are off, and I think that's going to be fun to watch.
All right, Dustin, 10 seconds to you. Do you think that we look at the specialist pitcher, not really a defense question, but it kind of can be. Do you think somebody under the radar, off the radar, is going to win that punter job to replace Blake Gilligan, or do you think Jordan Stout's going to lock that up?
It would help to know if Jordan Stout can punt. Like, I've never watched Jordan
Stout punt. My understanding, my assumption is that he hit the board at the bowl game at the Cotton Bowl. So, but I think he does have punting experience. He's the leader in the clubhouse.
Can he do it with consistency? You know, if he does it with consistency, spring and summer, then yeah, I think so. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I took more than 5 seconds. Ask Greg is coming up after this.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
The Blue White game is coming soon, and GoPSURV.com has you covered with their best deals ever. RVs for the weekend starting at just $500. Even better, whatever you spend on the spring game can be used as a credit for any game in the fall. Spend the weekend in a luxury RV. Enjoy 409 Tailgate Club Barbecue and a free bus ride to and from the stadium. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 800-519-8467 for all the details.